Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
It's time now for the Mefford Minute with Janet Mefford.
The story is told of a little boy who is trapped on the roof of a house that was on fire. As the boy stood terrified atop his house, he suddenly heard a voice below. It was his father calling, "Jump, I'll catch you." But all the little boy could see was darkness and smoke. He called out to his father, "I can't see you." And then his father called back, "Jump, I can see you." We often face situations in life where we feel like that boy. We're trapped or fearful and we think there's no way out. But scripture continually reminds us that the Lord will never leave us or forsake us. It's why the psalmist said of the Lord, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." And the Lord told Jeremiah, "Can a man hide himself in secret places so that I cannot see him?" No, even Jesus' name Emmanuel means God with us. So when you are afraid, know God can see you. Trust him by faith. I'm Janet Mefford.
For more of Janet's perspective, listen to Janet Mefford today or online at janetmefford.com.
Lots of rain expected today with thunderstorms. We should see a high of around 87 degrees. The rain will continue into the evening with an overnight low of 76. And for tomorrow, even more rain. In fact, we're expecting rain all day with thunderstorms, a high tomorrow, 85 degrees.
Hey guys, it's Doug McCary from SWAT Radio. Hey, Brad and I will be ministering and spending time with our families for the next few weeks. So join us in listening to some of our listener favorites from this past year. We'll be listening to programs about sharing your faith, discipleship, and what it means to follow Jesus. We'll be back live in a few weeks, so have a great summer. And remember, whatever you do, keep your eyes on Jesus.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to SWAT Radio. I'm Brad Sykes. I'm here with my good buddy, Doug McCary, Steve at the wheel. And man, Doug, I am pumped about today.
Yeah, I don't know why. We just got one of the most exciting guys in the world. This guy we have on today, I was describing him to some people I've asked to listen today. He's kind of like a combination of C.S. Lewis and Sinbad the Comedian into one guy. If you can imagine that.
I have so many great memories with Rick, and so we're in for a treat today. I was actually sending out some messages to buddies of mine going, "Hey, you want to tune in today?" And I know Rick's on the line, but the reality is you and I kind of tend to be a little serious sometimes, and we try to be light, but and some guys think, "Oh, man, you guys are so deep, you're so serious." I'm like, well, this guy's not only deep,
but he's funny.
But he's super
funny.
And
he makes me laugh. That's why I like hanging around him. Rick, welcome to SWAT Radio. How are you, buddy?
Let me move the bucket of chicken.
Hey, Rick, I almost went to Jenkins Barbecue in your honor today, buddy.
Don't you even play with me, Doug.
Well, Rick,
they had to ask me and Doug to leave.
We stayed there. We overstayed our welcome.
I thought that was the second time you went that day.
Well, I wasn't going to say that, man. But, Rick, how are you?
I am doing really well. Just thanking the Lord and just really enjoying serving him. I'm at a stage in my life where, you get to that point where you're just content, as Paul would say, and I am just content. And the second I said that a couple months ago, God just made me a lot busier.
He blew you up with some kind of video, right? It was like you speaking at something. I saw it. Somebody sent it to me. I go, "I know that guy." And it was you speaking at some maritime graduation, and I couldn't get over the guy who was sitting next to you because he was trying to look so serious as you do at graduations, but you kept busting him up and making him laugh.
There's one guy on the video to my right.
Yeah.
Bored out of his... It's like he's at your typical church and just can't get a break, you know? I guarantee you he's a Lutheran.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Well, now, was your dad one of the cooks there?
He was.
At Cal Maritime?
Yeah, the California Maritime Academy is in Vallejo, California, which is about 30 miles north of the city of San Francisco in the North Bay. So my father was the only one in his family who grew up in Texas. My dad was the only one who migrated to the West Coast. He gets a job as a cook at this school. So if you could imagine this man from rural Texas, flat Texas, now is a cook at a school that trains merchant seamen. These are the folks that go into the tugboat business, and they're your ocean liner captains. They're longshoremen. And my dad, all of a sudden, because he's a cook at this school, he's got to go to sea right along with these midshipmen to train. In order for them to graduate, they have to go to sea 3 months out of every year. So here my dad is from rural Texas, from the flatland of Texas, and the next thing you know, he's sailing all over the world. And 30-year career there, he sailed the world 10 times over, if you can imagine that.
Mm. Wow, and he was a third-grade dropout too, right?
So I have no idea that this speech is going to go viral. I don't know who the company is. Now I know them. I've entered into a relationship with them, but at the time had no idea that they would select the speech where I am on the campus where my father was a cook, and I'm telling these cadets that wisdom often will come in the unlikeliest of sources. And I point to what we used to call the mess hall. Now we call it the dining facility.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, by the way, Rick, this is Brad. Where was your dad from in Texas?
Hi, Brad. My dad was from Huntsville, Texas, where the federal prison is.
I know it well. Yeah, yeah. So, I'm from Houston.
How old do you know it, Brad?
Well, I know it well. Well,
we're checking that out, Rick. Yeah, don't worry about that.
That's up there at by Lake Livingston.
That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, beautiful area up there.
It is a wonderful area. The people in the Huntsville area, they're fantastic. I remember we would load up the Rambler station wagon. You boys are too young to know what I'm talking about.
Come on, are you kidding me?
And we drive 1,600 miles from San Francisco to Texas for a family reunion. And I loved it because you could actually shoot guns.
Hey, Rick, so you'll appreciate this. So I basically grew up in Sugar Land.
Oh my goodness!
And we moved to Sugarland in 1971. I tell people all the time. Of course, I know you've been to Sugarland in the last 10 years. I mean, it's crazy. But in 71 through around up till probably 1980, I could walk out my driveway with a shotgun on my shoulder, shooting birds across the street. I mean, it was, now you couldn't get outside your door with a gun on your shoulder. You'd be in jail.
Yeah, Sugarland has really changed. I was just there yesterday.
Were you really? Okay.
It is really cosmopolitan. And I live in an area in North Texas, same sort of deal. You know, just 20, 30 years ago, the old-timers say that they could go out and hunt jackrabbits, shoot things. Now it's a whole different day. But when I would come from San Francisco, we would swim in tanks, in Texas. We would shoot guns, ride tractors, milk cows, drink something called sweet tea. Jesus-ordained drink. It was just fun because, you shoot a gun in San Francisco, your whole family's going to jail.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. Well, especially in this day and age.
But in San Francisco, they won't be in jail for long. They'll let you out.
Hey, Rick, I went to your website. I noticed that you got a little it's a really well-done, updated website. If you want to know more about Rick Rigsby, you go to www.rickrigsby.com. But I want the guy that airbrushed your photo to do mine, man, okay?
It was a woman, and it was a big brush.
Because I'm going, is that Rick Rigsby in that photo there, man? You look great, man. Are you still doing your diet thing?
I am, and I am still doing my new lifestyle, just eating less is the bottom line. But I looked at that picture, and I looked at me in the mirror, and I looked at that picture, and all I could say was, thank you, Jesus.
You are looking very suave there. I mean, you've got your pocket square in there. You're looking rather dapper.
He's looking
like he was rolling that day.
Well, Rick, this video over 130 something million people saw this thing. And really, you've had this book out for a while. I remember when we were doing some stuff together, you had this Lessons from a Third Grade Dropout then. Have the book sales just skyrocketed since this video went viral?
It sure has, and I appreciate you asking, Doug. First of all, the numbers now are over 250 million people have seen this video.
Good gracious.
And 130 million saw it in the first few days, if you can believe that. And just in Facebook alone, it's almost 190 million. And then with you all the YouTube viewers, and it's over 250 million. So check this out. And I hope that this is an encouragement for people who they might think it's over. But just because you think it's over doesn't mean that God says it's over. Mm-hmm. So watch this. Doug, you're absolutely right. I wrote the book, Lessons from a Third Grade Dropout. It was published in 2006 by Thomas Nelson. This division of Thomas Nelson was taken over by HarperCollins, and it was, in effect, up until 6 months ago, on HarperCollins' dead list. You know, it just wasn't doing well. Now, mentioning that book in a video that went viral, this book is a USA Today, Wall Street Journal, as well as Amazon bestseller. We went from a mom-and-pop organization in October. In fact, it was 5 months ago today that the video went viral, October the 5th, 2017. We went from a mom-and-pop organization to hiring a company to help us handle this exploding portfolio to becoming a distribution center. The book is a bestseller, and we are just blown away. And what's so ironic about an amazing book years ago by the late Stephen Covey, and I know that you folks have read it as well. He's a fantastic book where he's talking about very important core basic principles. And this book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, sat on the shelf for years. And I often wondered, how could that be? And then the same thing happens to me. And the point is, when God blows, when God moves, things happen. Mm-hmm. And for whatever reason, it wasn't my time. You know, I've been speaking for 30 years. I have spoken all over the world, 4 million miles. I've shared this message from a third grade dropout in countries all over the world. But God said, now is the time, and I want you to take this to the church of the world. He literally has opened up the doors to corporate America. He's opening doors to people that would never come to our churches. And he's telling me to take this message to the world, his hope, his glory, his word. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. And you know, what's interesting, Rick, is I remember going through a mentoring program with Leighton Ford back in 96. And he brought in a guy who was like a Stephen Covey like guy. And he was really good at helping people focus their mission, their ministry, their job, whatever. And he said, guys, it takes 15 years to become an overnight sensation, 30 years to really be successful in what you're doing.
Isn't that amazing?
And I just, you know, I'm so glad because, you know, I remember your book, some of the things that were in there were things that my dad taught me because that's the way dads used to teach their kids.
Right.
And you know, I hope that, you know, we're going to a break here in a minute, but when we come back, could you just give us a little bit of a sample of some of those things that your dad taught you? Not go into great detail, but just some of them, because I think we desperately need for people, dads out there that are listening to this, to be reminded of some of these truths that your dad taught. They're simple truths.
I'd be honored to, Doug. In fact, I'll even talk during the break if you want me to.
well, that's all right.
You'd be competing with us, you know, Rick. So,
well, I'm just so glad. You know, first of all, I want to say that I really appreciate you being on. You know, and just to let our listeners know, and I know you've got somebody in your life, but you know, sometimes when you get blown up, it can blow up your pride. And I just appreciate you being on this humble little radio program called SWAT Radio with us guys, sharing some of this truth with us and with our listeners today, brother.
So. Well, you know my love for you, Doug. Yeah. We go back, and I absolutely adore you and love you. For you listeners that may not know, this man, Ugg has a heart after the Lord, and I love my buddy.
Well, you say that because I bought you good barbecue.
And Brad's all right, too.
Hey, we're going to take a quick break. Hey, by the way, so Rick, who are you rooting for the PGA, for the Masters?
I'm rooting for a brother named Tiger.
Yes, I am too, actually. Believe it or not, I am too. Well,
it's a story of forgiveness and redemption.
Amen.
You know what I mean?
Amen. I think he's a 3-over today. We're going to take a quick break. Join us after the break. SWAT Radio.
This program has the potential to reach millions of men each week. If you'd like to learn how you can support this unique program that is helping men understand the truth about Jesus through God's Word and how to impact their lives and the lives of others, then go to www.swatradio.com. Then click on the donate link to help SWAT Radio pass on the truth for the next generation.
We're so grateful for having people like Tom Neal Truck Company sponsoring SWAT Radio. Tom Neal Truck Company is located at 417 Edgewood Avenue South in Jacksonville, Florida. Tom Neal is a full-service franchise truck dealer for Freightliner, Western Star, Volvo, Isuzu, and Sprinter vans, offering new and used truck sales, service, parts, and truck rental and leasing to the North Florida and South Georgia truck market. More information on Tom Neal Truck Company is located at www.tomneal.com. That's www.tomneal.com.
Hey guys, welcome back. I'm Brad Sykes, Doug McCary, SWAT Radio. Special guest today, our brother Rick Rigsby. Rick, great to have you on today.
Great to be with you folks. I'm really excited about this.
Hey, I wish you could have been in the studio and heard Doug coming in with a little singing with, who's that, Peter Cetera?
Yeah. That's just my wife and I's song. Now, Rick can appreciate that. Rick is a... He's a ladies' man with his wife. I know that. Right, Rick?
Uh-oh. Did I lose you guys?
No.
You're good.
No, we just talked over each other. Lord, we were talking about our wives, and we got all excited. Hey, so Rick, your dad, like I said, is like my dad. They were just self-taught men who, worked hard. They wanted you to work hard. In this next segment, just give us a few of those things that he shared with you that really I think our kids could use today, and even fathers out there, things that they could teach their kids that we may see have dropped off the radar a little bit.
My dad was born in 1920. He survived the Great Depression. He was a World War II veteran, and there were values embedded and inherent in the society that we just don't see today. My father decided he was going to stand and be a man, even in the midst of Jim Crowism. Not a black man or a white man or a brown man. He decided he was going to stand and be a man. So by the time he comes to marrying my mother and rearing those children, he made it very clear he was not interested in rearing black men. He was interested in rearing great people who would do great things. Mm. Taught us profound lessons. Can I tell you a story before I tell you the lessons real quick?
Yeah.
It's 1972. I'm 16 years old. I'm working at a local fast food place. I got an afro so big I can't get in a I still can't get in a Volkswagen. But anyway, I come home, and I am just mad. And my father said, son, what's wrong with you? And I said, the white man over there at where I worked, he told me that I had to scrub toilets. Daddy, I fry French fries to make hamburgers. And my father calmly said, son, what does the color of that man's skin have to do with you displaying excellence? And I could tell right then this conversation was not going to go the way I thought it was going to go.
Wow.
I tell my father, I said, but Daddy, he says, son, what's the man's name that signed your paycheck? I tell him the name. He says, son, as long as that man signs your paycheck, you do whatever he tells you to do. When you own your own restaurant, you do what you want. Now, son, this is what I want you to do. Leave your car in the driveway. Walk back over to that restaurant. Tell your boss that your father said you're there to check in, and all you want to do is scrub toilets for the next 8 hours. You want to volunteer for an 8-hour shift and scrub toilets. And when I see your boss later this week, he better tell me you're his best employee.
Wow.
I've how to make an impact from a man who is interested in rearing great people. Here are the simple lessons. Son, don't judge. What do you mean, Dad? I've gone all over the world, son. I've seen good and bad in every shade. When you judge somebody, you can't impact them. It retards your growth because you're making a choice not to grow to get to meet the other people. And then he dropped Jonathan Swift on me, who said, vision is the ability to see the invisible. Don't judge people. It will retard your growth. I have to tell you all something. Several months ago, I'm speaking at a luxury hotel, and the only person that knows that I'm coming is the general manager who invited me. So I decided to come a day earlier and observe the hotel. I show up in a nice sports car, dressed nicely. First thing the valet says to me is, hey, sir, who are you here to pick up? And I had a great conversation with that guy. Guess what I discovered?
What?
He was not racist. It was worse. He was ignorant.
Mm-hmm.
When you judge people, you are creating a bevy of ignorance for you to bask in. My father said, don't judge. Don't ever, ever judge. He taught me, he said, son, you'd rather be an hour early than a minute late. Dads out there in the audience, listen to this. What are you modeling in front of your children? My father had the breakfast and lunch shift. He had to be at work at 5 in the morning. The academy was 15 minutes away from our home. My mother said for 30 years he left at 3:45 in the morning. One day she asked him why. Here was his response. One of these days, one of my boys will catch me in the act of excellence. I want to ask the dads that are listening, what are you modeling? What is that what you're modeling? Does it have any eternal significance or any eternal weight? What are you modeling? Harvard Business Review, September 2004. The article is titled Deep Smarts. Here's the thesis. Lecturing. What our schools are based upon is the worst kind of teaching method. That if you want to get the intended message across, model the behavior. I remember somebody who modeled for 33 years and he changed the world. Next lesson. Son, just tell me when I need to stop.
No, man. You just keep going. Keep going.
I'm taking notes.
Yeah, we're taking notes, okay?
Be kind to people. Kind deeds are never lost. Y'all know I'm 62. Doug, I know you're in your 70s or 80s.
Hey, easy. I'm 57 or 56. You're making me older than I am. I'm telling you I'm older. I'm 56. So.
But I'm just joking, but you remember this. And I know you remember this. Brad, I know you remember there was a time when kindness was considered a value. Remember?
Yeah.
We used to talk about manners. When's the last time you've even heard the word manners? And so now kindness is a commodity that we barter to get what we think we might need to make us appear as though we're kind. So kindness is nothing but an artificial ornament designed to appease the sensibilities of people we don't even know or like. And it's a shame. So we practice kindness in a very situational way. If Doug is around, I'll be kind. If my pastor's around, I'll be kind. Well, what are you teaching your children, Deuteronomy 6? Are you teaching them that kindness is a sometimes thing? Vince Lombardi said winning is an all-the-time thing. And so when you're kind, even when others are not, you are fulfilling the command of Christ. When you are kind, even when you're being stepped on, you are advancing the kingdom of God. When you are kind, when everybody else is completely ignoring you, you are honoring God in such a way that men will see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven. In other words, the world stops when you're kind. George Washington Carver said, when common people do common things in uncommon ways, they command the attention of the world. Being kind will stop the world. Y'all, just like you, Doug, you do a lot of NFL chapels. I do too. And I'm amazed at what I see there. Guys who can bench press 250 pounds 25 times. Guys who, from a flat-footed position, have a 40-inch vertical leap. I even saw a white guy do it once.
Watch it now.
It wasn't me.
Watch out.
All right. Here's my point. When I see one, and I know you can say amen to this, Doug, when I see one of those young football players, like a Kirk Cousins, when I see one of those young millionaires show kindness to somebody else, it blows me away. That's what impacts me. That's what stops me. Not their money, not their status, not their suit, not their Ferrari, but their kindness.
Hmm.
That's one more.
Yeah, they go. Give us the next one.
Done. Make sure your servant's towel is bigger than your ego. Ego is the anesthesia that deadens the pain of stupidity.
Repeat that one again.
Ego is the anesthesia that deadens the pain of stupidity. Mm. It's that famous philosopher, Anonymous. I got to tell you a quick story. I make that comment. I'm teaching a class at Texas A&M. I love my Aggies. I love them. But at the end of the class, I said, hey, friends, this one is from that famous philosopher, Anonymous. Ego is the anesthesia that deadens the pain of stupidity. I kid you not, after class, a student comes up and says, Dr. Rigsby, Anonymous, was that a Greek philosopher or...
Well, that's A&M,
and that was
right?
An A&M boy?
Yeah, that was an A&M guy.
I thought you were going to tell me it was a Rice kid or something.
No. Well, you know, Brad's a TCU guy. Did you know that, Rick?
You rich thing, you.
Yeah, right. Well, in fact, we're heading out in a couple of weeks. I'm going to take my fifth child out there for a recruiting trip to up, in fact, your neck of the woods. We'll be over in SMU and TCU and Texas.
It's a great place. One of my dear friends is the chaplain over there, and it is just a wonderful school, great tradition, real sense of godliness, and their sports programs have really climbed up.
Haven't they? Yeah.
Let me finish this before y'all go to another commercial break and sell pancakes.
Okay, go ahead.
So my father realized that I was coming out of television, and he realized that I was full of myself, and he had to reteach me this. And he said, son, I really want to speak to the dad now that's trying to compete. You know the one I'm talking to, the one that you're trying to compete with everybody else in the church and in the neighborhood. I won't condemn you. I was right there. This is what my daddy told me. He said, son, that ego's pretty healthy right now. He said, here's a way to kind of deflate it. Pick up a servant's towel. John Wooden. I love John Wooden. For those of you that don't know who John Wooden is, won a lot of basketball games coaching at UCLA. He won national championships. He paid the bills by coaching basketball, but his calling was to impact men. And John Wooden was fond of going into the cupboard on a regular basis and getting a push broom and sweeping his own gym floor. You want to make an impact? Find your broom. Find your broom. I learned that from a third grade dropout. Probably the biggest lessons I learned, whatever you do, do it with excellence. And, of course, the greatest lesson I learned, Doug, you know, was at the casket of a wife. Mm-hmm. When my father just said to me three words that changed my life. He said, son, just stand. Mm-hmm. Just.
Well, Rick, when we come back after our next break, it'll be in about a minute and a half. Could you go back and tell us about meeting Trina, your first wife, and kind of take us through because – I just think that the just stand has significant impact when people this was your dream lady, and
yeah.
and I really would like for him to hear his story. So when we come back, I want to pick up on that and have you share. But just in the last minute here, because you travel all over the country, you see men, you've been at men's events, you've done these other things. You know, the state of our country right now, Rick. You know, our skin color is different, but our hearts are the same. And my question to you is, what is it going to take for us as a country to come together like you and I are together?
Let me make this very clear. I don't think race is the issue. It's a breakdown of the family.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
For us to come together again, we have to come under the sovereign authority of Almighty God. Men have to reclaim their position, their biblical position, as the kings and priests of their home. That means you hang in there. You don't quit. You don't give up. You're not motivated by your feelings, but you stand and be the man that God's called you to be. In the final seconds that we have, just review Deuteronomy 6. Before parents are charged with teaching, they're charged to love the Lord their God with all their heart, with all their soul, and with all their might. This country, in order to return back to God, has got to make a robust effort to build stronger families. We are suffering from the breakdown of the American family.
Wow. Well, you know, Rick, at the SWAT meetings, we say that part of the Shema at the end of every prayer when we pray when we start it, because I feel so strongly that you're right. It starts with loving God. Well, thank you for sharing. We're going to come back after the break. And no calls today, right, Brad?
No, no calls, man. We want to take all this time for ourselves.
Yes.
Listen, great to have Rick Rigsby joining us today here at SWAT Radio. If you want to tune in online, you can go to www.swatradio.com, and we'll be right back.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
Here's Dr. Gene Getz to share today's Bible principle, an enduring truth you can live by.
Today I'd like to look at Psalm 73. Here's the background for what Asaph wrote. Israel's enemies had surrounded them and were about to destroy them. And consequently, the psalmist was crying out for help to God, asking God to intervene to bring judgment on his enemies. But notice the ultimate purpose for this judgment.
Make them like tumbleweed, my God, like straw before the wind. As fire burns a forest, as a flame blazes through mountains, so pursue them with your tempest and terrify them with your storm. Cover their faces with shame so that they will seek your name, Lord. May they know that you alone, whose name is the Lord, are the Most High over the whole earth.
Well, as Christians living today, we're more and more surrounded by the enemies of God's truth. And furthermore, it's not wrong to pray for God to intervene and protect us from those who want to destroy us. However, in our prayers, we should pray that God's current earthly judgment on them will bring them to their knees, to bow before the Lord Jesus Christ before they enter eternity, separated from God. You see, God's desire is that all come to repentance. It's the reason Jesus Christ has delayed his return to bring ultimate judgment on the earth. The Lord is concerned about all evil people, including the scoffers who deny the word of God. Listen to the words of the Apostle Peter. The Lord does not delay his promise, as some understand delay, but is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance. Have you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? If you have not, you can do so today. Put your faith in Jesus Christ.
The Bible principle you've heard today comes from the Life Essentials Study Bible by Dr. Gene Getz. To find out how you can receive this Bible, go to BiblePrinciples.org.
On the north side, there's a crash on the East Beltway, 295 northbound, just beyond Alta Drive. Also, another crash on the East Beltway, 295 southbound, the ramp to the exit at the UNF and the Town Center. And they're still clearing an accident on I-95 southbound. That's the ramp from Airport Road. That on-ramp is closed. Scattered showers and thunderstorms gradually decreasing tonight, low 75. Friday starting out partly sunny, high 89.
Good afternoon, folks. Brad Sykes with Doug McCary, SWAT Radio. We got a special guest this week, Rick Rigsby, joining us today. Rick, glad to have you, man.
Brad, it's good to be with you and Doug.
Hey, by the way, I just wanted to kind of throw this out. I have actually been taking notes, even though I've listened to that speech that you've given. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've listened to it, and every time it's one of those things I've listened to it always in the car. And I've always wanted to just stop and listen to it and just take notes. So I'm taking notes today, Rick.
I love that. You know, I have to tell you that Doug and I traveled quite a bit, spoke for different men's organizations, and I would hear the same messages week in and week out. And I don't know about you, Doug, but I found myself taking notes, and I knew what was coming. Yeah. The Lord's breath will make everything fresh and new and alive, and you'll hear something over and over, but always catch something new out of it regardless, right?
Well, yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, Rick, there's a few things, well, almost everything in here are things that we need to hear as men. Yeah. And I know you even touch on that in that speech about becoming a man, you know. And, you know, I don't know if it's Tommy Nelson said this about you can line up 100 men and say, hey, when does a boy become a man? And you get 100 different answers. You know, you ask a Jewish man when a boy becomes a man, he knows exactly when he becomes a man. And, you know, this ceremonial process of a boy becoming a man, it sounds like your dad was pretty active in your life as a young man.
He was, but I didn't become a man in my case until my wife died.
Wow.
Well, you know, we talked about that, Rick. Go back. First of all, you were a football player. Where'd you play football?
I was a football wannabe. Why don't we say it like that? The older I get, the better I was, to be quite honest. And I did a lot better job on the coaching staff at A&M than I ever did playing football. But I was at a school in Northern California, small little school, California State University, Chico. I'm a freshman, and I fall head over heels with this woman named Trina Williams. She was a nursing student. Me and my buddies, we just couldn't believe that a woman could be this beautiful. We're at a dance. After a football game, we're at a dance. And all my buddies are asking her to dance, and she's dancing with them. And I figure, hey, I'm dressed. I got on a purple leisure suit. I look like a Black Barney. If you can, and I got on platform shoes. Doug, do you remember those?
Oh, my.
Yeah. I look like the fifth member of the Isley Brothers. Anyway, so I go out on the dance floor, and I said, my name is Ricky Rigsby. She says, my name is Trina Williams. And I ask her to dance with me, and she says, yes. While we're dancing, I'm noticing my buddies are laughing, so I figure I might as well go for it. I asked Trina for her phone number. First woman in college, actually the only woman, to give me her real number. And with my buddies in the dorm room, I call Trina's number and ask her to go to Baskin and Robbins Ice Cream Parlor. She says, yes. We walk the 6 miles there because my car was broke. We walk back. We go on a second date, a third date, a fourth date. My buddies are in shock. We start going together. After a couple of months, I take her home to visit my parents. My daddy, he looks at Trina and he looks at me and he whispers in my ear, is she psycho? But anyway, we kept dating. We date for 4 years. I ask her to marry me. She says yes. I married the most beautiful woman I've ever met in my life. I started my career as a television news reporter in Northern California. Trina is a labor and delivery nurse. Other than student loans, we're living the American dream, and then we have a couple children, two little boys, and our lives were just picture perfect. One day, Trina finds a lump, suspicious, biopsy, breast cancer, and 6 years later, we're at mommy's casket. Now, let me back up. For 40 years, I did not have one bad day, not one. I was God's golden child, you might say. At least that's the way I saw it in my mind. Isn't it interesting that the church of today has no theology for suffering, no theology for pain? We sometimes even think it's God's punishment. Nothing could be further from the truth. We don't understand a loving God. But I had no bad days whatsoever. This is what I had. I manipulated every situation for my good. Took advantage of my wife in that I didn't listen a lot of times. I was led by my own agenda. My wife for granted, I guarantee you that. Took my relationship with Christ for granted. I'm called to preach in the 70s and in the 80s, and I'm telling God what I'm going to do and how I'm going to use my gifts. And God is telling me, son, I want more of you. And I'm saying no. I like it just the way it is. I got a fan club from television. People like me. Folks love to hear me preach. I'm going to do my own thing. About the same time that voice diminished was about the time that Trina was diagnosed. And we went through a living hell. I remember at the casket, I heard the Lord say to me, at Trina's casket, do you trust me? And I remember saying, I trust you. I'm not real happy with you right now, but I trust you. And I remember the Lord, I felt in my heart, he was saying, if you can trust me right now, I am going to never leave you. I never have. And I'm going to take this pain, and I'm going to turn it into hope, and I'm going to allow an opportunity for you to touch lives all over this world. As clearly as I'm speaking to you, that's what I heard the Lord say. I want to ask you all a question. how could the worst days of your life be the best days? I literally had to go through the worst days of my life to fall in love with Jesus. Because when you lose a wife, and she's 41, and when you have two little faces looking at you, wanting to be their mom and their dad, and your money can't help you, and your personality can't help you, and you have nowhere to turn, all you have is God. And it was at that moment that I realized all I needed was God. And I started to realize that my heart had to be broken so that I wouldn't self-destruct. Doug, Brad, I made life about me for 40 years. I wonder who I'm talking to in the radio audience right now. I made life all about me. And in one instant, my life came crashing down. But here's the great news. Built it back up his way. He built it back up his way. And I now say 21 years later, my heart had to be broken so that I would have a heart for the brokenhearted.
Mm-hmm. Rick, you know, I love that story. I hate that you had to go through that. It was a 9/11 moment for you. I think a lot of us go through these 9/11 moments. And there was something that I remember you said, and I can't remember if it was here at Men at the Cross or in a video or somewhere, but you talked about Trina's last words to you that really struck me and impacted me. And sure. It was about the way she lived. And can you quote that? Because I don't want to mess up the quote. But
I'd be happy to, Doug. Thank you for asking. And so let me ask you a question. Do you guys remember early in the show I told you that at that graduation speech at Cal Maritime where I was talking about my dad, I said that sometimes you find wisdom in the unlikeliest of sources. Yeah. You remember saying that?
Yeah.
The greatest two bits of wisdom in my life came from a third grade dropout daddy and a dying wife. Mm. A dying wife taught me how to live. Mm. Listen to this. 2 days before she died, no hair because of chemo. She's in bad shape. She's sitting on the couch in the family room surrounded by pillows. I'm in the kitchen keeping an eye on her. I noticed out of my peripheral vision our then youngest son, Andrew, walking down the stairs with a shirt in his hands. And this is what I hear. Andrew, Mama, not always going to be able to help you fold the shirt. She was saying goodbye to her baby.
Mm-hmm.
I waited for Andrew to leave. I went over and sat next to Trina on the couch, and these were some of her last words to me. As clearly as I'm talking to you, Doug, and you, Brad, these were some of Trina's last words. It doesn't matter to me any longer how long I live. What matters to me most is how I live. Mm-hmm. And so I would ask myself for the rest of my life, this is what I ask myself, the same thing I'm asking you, Doug, and you, Brad. The same thing I'm asking every man in the SWAT radio audience. How you living? How you living? Because in the final analysis, that's the only thing that really matters.
Well, Rick, thank you for sharing that. You know, Brad and I actually were talking yesterday about in the last few months, we both got to either be a part of or be around people that were dying. Some of them not well, some of them really well. And what a difference it makes when somebody has that attitude. You know, it's not how long, but it's how.
Right.
And if any guys are listening, it's never too late. What Rick said earlier, it is never too late until you're on the other side. So let today be the day you say, you know what, God, come in and change my heart today. Let it start today. If you're a man or a woman listening, no matter what's happened, no matter what's going on, no matter how invaluable you feel, no matter how wasted you feel like you've wasted your life, no matter what mistakes, there's nothing, absolutely nothing that keeps God from changing you right now except you saying yes to him and Amen. Allowing him. So.
Amen. Amen.
Well, Rick, we're going to take another break here in just a minute.
Got to sell more pancakes.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe on the other side of the break, you can even talk about one of the things that left a I was going to say an impression, but that's actually what I want to talk about, is the difference between an impression and an impact.
Ooh.
And you know, when I think back about that lesson that you taught on that, I just want you to touch on that a little bit, because it seems to be in our culture today, people are more concerned about making an impression than they are about making an impact. So if you'll touch on that when we come back, that'd be great. Yeah. Glad to have Rick Rigsby joining us today here at SWAT Radio. We'll be right back.
All right.
If you'd like to contact SWAT Radio, the toll-free number is 1-844-777-7928. That's 844-777-7928 or 844-777-SWAT. You can also listen to this program through the WTRJ The Truth app from the App Store or over the Internet by accessing www.swatradio.com. We'll be back shortly for further discussion and to take your calls.
SWAT Radio is brought to you on The Truth by Evolve Bank and Trust. Evolve offers investment services, trust and mortgage services, physician lending, and equipment finance. Through its affiliates, a network of bankers, trust officers, and mortgage advisors, they offer a wide array of loan products and services and are actively involved in the growth of the communities they serve. Evolve is a nationwide lender providing residential mortgage loans, including conventional, FHA, VA, home equity lines of credit, reverse mortgages, and USDA loans. More information is available by calling Michael Koopman with Evolve Bank and Trust at 727-415-2214. Their web address is www.clearwater.evolve.mortgage. Equal housing lender. All loans subject to credit approval.
SWAT Radio is brought to you in part by Ace Door and Window Service, Inc. Ace Door and Window Service, Inc. is a full-service sales door and window installation company. Both of the owners are licensed contractors and are involved in the daily operations of the company. All of their trucks are company-owned and fully equipped. Their mission is to provide Jacksonville and the surrounding area with door and window replacement services. To learn more, call 904-701-3667. That's 904-701-DOOR. Or online at www.acedoor.com.
Hey guys, welcome back to SWAT Radio. Brad Sykes here with Doug McCary, our special guest, Rick Rigsby. Doug, I agree. Rick, I love the new website. Really cool.
Well, thank you guys so much. It's amazing what happens when you spend a little money.
Well, I want to encourage our listeners, go to rickrigsby.com. Great website. Book him for whatever. You speak everywhere, don't you? I mean, corporate?
I do. Got a new book out, speaking a lot, just loving life.
Man, that's awesome. That's awesome.
Yep. Rick, your new book, is it Afraid to Hope or is it Raise? Which one is it Afraid to Hope or what's the new one called?
It's called Afraid to Hope, Discovering the Courage to Dream Again.
Yeah.
Can I take just 30 seconds?
Please. Take a minute, man. Come on. We'll give you double time. Go ahead.
So I know that a lot of Christians might be offended by this, but too bad. But so I got to a point where I was afraid to hope. I was afraid to live. I questioned everything. I asked God, how could a loving God allow something like this? It's okay to struggle, friends. Jesus is on the cross asking, why hast thou forsaken me? That was Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Goes to the Garden of Gethsemane. We don't think about it in those terms. Struggling, it's okay. It's the struggle that grows your faith, that builds your faith, right? Mm-hmm. And so I dealt with disappointment, discouragement, despair. I lost perspective and had to learn how to be quiet before the Lord. It was, I believe, David around, I think it was Psalm 62, who ordered his heart to be quiet. It was Thoreau who said, if we will be quiet and ready, we shall find compensation in every disappointment. I had to realize that I was being challenged to grow deeper in my faith, that Trina had died. Her work was done, and when your work is done, God takes you home regardless of your age. And so now I didn't die also. I had to do what my parents had always said, and that was not lose hope. In my case, I had to rediscover hope. And so I worked on a definition of hope for years that was born out of not finding it. I just say hope is a quality of every human spirit. In other words, I believe we're created by Almighty God with inside of us. It's a quality of every human spirit. Places transformative demand upon the heart to believe for the absolute best outcome. My problem was I was believing for my outcome. My outcome would be that would work in my favor. But how many of you know that it's oftentimes the best outcome that is best for you, not what you want. So hope helps you to rediscover the courage to believe again and to dream again. And it's doing very well. You can go to my website, you can go to Amazon and get Afraid to Hope, especially if you're going through a tough time.
Afraid to Hope, Discovering the Courage to Dream Again. Rick Rigsby, I should say, Dr. Rick Rigsby. I don't want to dismiss your PhD, you C.S. Lewis kind of thing, man. Hey, how'd you like that? C.S. Lewis and Sinbad, man, that's a pretty good combo, you know?
I you know what? I love both of them. I was honored to hear that. I really was.
Well, listen, you know, before we get in, Brad had asked about the impression impact. I want to say one other thing about some lessons from your dad, which I think ultimately you talk about that when you, you know, those things that you, when you were going through that particular, the video when you were speaking at that graduation, you know, you talked about always, you always be kind, but you said never embarrass mama. I remember that. And, you know, we live in an age, Rick, where children today don't appreciate the wisdom from their parents and the honor that God demands of our parents. You know, because of the internet technology, people refer to Google more than they refer to their parents or their uncles or their aunts. Could you speak to that? Because I know you teach a lot. You know, you teach a lot about education and you speak to educators. Talk about that a little bit from your perspective of how we need to, as parents, how can we help our children get away from some of that?
Stop being their buddy and be their mom and dad.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Number two, make sure that you're eating at the table and that the table is a phone-free zone. Co-communicate. Kids have a lot to say, and we just don't create the space for them to say it because we're too busy. Football has taken over Sunday. Football has taken over Thursday. Football has taken over Monday, and the rest of the week, other things take it over. And so there's so many things competing for the hearts and minds of us and our children. Whatever happened to being a family? Whatever happened to talking? You know what we do at my table? The thing I hated 60 years ago. I hated when my father would come off one of those trips and he would say, Ricky, what can you tell me about the Galapagos Islands? And I'd go, well, I can tell you about Gilligan's Island, Dad. I can't. And he said, tomorrow we're going to learn about the political structure of Manila. Well, guess what I do today? I gather my boys as often as I can around the table, and I said, boys, tell me the significance of Donald Trump as president. Tell me the significance of why it's why. What do you think about a wall? And there's no bad answer. What do you think about these issues? Guess what I have discovered? Kids have a lot to say. What am I saying? What I'm saying is that we need to do more activities that promote a rhetorical presence in the home, a presence of communicating. When there's a home where there's a presence of deep, honest, wholesome, healthy communication, that child is going to feel more secure, going to feel more protected, going to be less likely to go out into this world and prove the worthiness of who he is and the rightness of what she does. And as a college professor, let me tell you something. I saw the most insecure kids in the world on a daily basis. And all you have to do is ask a couple of questions and you get right to the heart of things. What is your security? What is your rock? What is your protection? What is your provision? So in a moment, let me just tell you this. Father, listen to me carefully. You have to do more than just stamp on your kid's forehead that he's a Christian. If she doesn't know why she believes what she believes, her belief system will be completely irrelevant when they get to college. We have to create an environment where we're interacting, listening, engaging with our children. And I think that is one of the things that is really missing, Doug, in our society today.
Just engagement. Yeah, I think you're right. Well,
I was going to ask you before we get into that question too, Rick, you know, what do you think your dad would have to say about social media today? And I'm not saying social media is bad necessarily, but you know, you walk around and you know, if I was going to say, if you're under 20, your head's down looking at some device. But
yeah,
for that matter, it's 40-year-olds that are doing that, you know?
Let me tell you what he would say. Son, those smart devices have made you dumb. And my father would say is, instead of being a slave to it, manage it. And this is what he would really say. Return back to the basics, son. It's the basics. Now, listen to me carefully, guys. It doesn't matter to me who you voted for during the Super Bowl. I don't think the best team won. I don't think the team with the anointed quarterback won. Just like in every other field of competition, the team that wins is the team that executes better than the other team. It's executing the basics. Chuck Knoll, great football coach for the Pittsburgh Steelers, mm-hmm. said on one occasion, champions are champions not because they do extraordinary things, but because they do ordinary things better than anybody else. We live in a society where we're allowing artificially created smart devices to dictate our thinking, to actually think for us, to make choices for us, to actually live our lives and guide our lives by creating values that we're supposed to follow.
Mm-hmm.
That's nuts.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And so I think smart devices have taken over for co-humanication, for listening, for talking, even, dare I say, for thinking. Great book, Nicholas Carr, Common Spelling, the book Shallows, How the Internet is Affecting Our Brains.
Shallows, that's Shallows, right?
Correct. Okay. How the Internet is Affecting Our Brains. And if my father was alive, he'd say, push less buttons and interact more, son. Get off that phone a little bit more and listen more. Talk with other people more. And what he would say to society is this. We don't have to think alike, but for God's sake, let's think together.
That's good.
This way. Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord.
Wow.
It's okay to have disagreements, but can we show the respect of Christ? We don't have to beat up each other just because our candidate didn't win. We don't have to beat up each other just because we don't like something the president said. We are all part of the same created body. We are here on this earth to represent the Lord Jesus, and we can't get along with each other. My father would say, let's put them smart devices back in the box for a little while.
Wow. Well, Rick, we got 1 minute left, and I know you're a man with 4 degrees. You got a brother who's a judge, and you were told most of your life you're going to be average. So one final shout-out message to our listeners who've been told that or been told they don't measure up.
I was told most of my life I would be average by people outside my house. Let me make that clear. Inside my house, we were told we were going to be great people who would do great things. So in the last minute we have together, my question is this. Who are you going to listen to? Whose voice are you going to listen to? You're going to listen to everybody else that says that you're not going to amount to much. Look where you came from. Look at the mistakes you made. You know you're divorced. You know you're only half the man that you're supposed to be. You know that if everybody knew everything about you, they wouldn't even like you. Or are you going to listen to the voice that created you, who said you are fearfully and wonderfully made, that you are in him and he is in you, and you can do all things through him who strengthens you? I would ask this one question. Man, which voice are you going to listen to?
Wow. Thank you, man. Thanks so much, Rick. I love you. I appreciate you, and I'm praying for you, brother, and your family, okay?
You can't get a two-hour show, Doug.
No.
Hey, they don't want to listen to us that long, Rick. You know, we could keep you on for 2 or 3 hours. But, hey, buddy, I'm going to come see you here in a couple of weeks. Maybe I'll reach out to you if you're going to be in town.
Thank you, Brad.
All right. All right, take care. Love you, Rick.
Love you, too.
All right. Hey, listen, go to rickrigsby.com. Amazing stuff there. Doug, I'll see you tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Yep, SWAT Radio.
If you missed a SWAT radio broadcast this week and would like to hear any show in its entirety,